Amen. Wow. That's beautiful. I love those two songs, In Christ Alone and Jesus Paid It All. I love how Bill interweaves just all these same themes through all these songs. It's just amazing. We're going to be talking about what it means to be in Christ today. And so before we do that, though, I do just want to brag on our students. I know they already kind of trickled out, but they did a great job, right? That was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. And also today in the second service, we're going to be recognizing graduates. And so I've prepared a message that's kind of applicable for graduates and for everyone. But I'm excited about graduation. I know they've got to be excited. I know they're ready to move on and go to whatever is next for them. But before I hop into this idea of what it means to be in Christ, I want to take a second and just brag on God and brag on you guys as a church for what you're doing to reach young people. And I know Amy would totally agree with me on that. We have seen God move this school year in just a tremendous way. I know specifically in the youth ministry, we've seen over 20 students pray to receive Jesus this year. And that is really all credit to God, all credit to you guys, just being a church that supports us to have so many events and so many things we do. And really also the biggest contributor other than just God is our student leadership team. Last year, we started a leadership team, and this year, our leadership team has really become a team that knows what they're here for and what they're doing, and they are reaching students and leading their friends to Christ. They've started Fellowship of Christian Athletes at both campuses. Also, our seventh grade boys said that they wanted to just have a seventh grade boys Bible study, and I think they're averaging like 15 boys that come before school, and so it's just pretty awesome just to brag on God, brag on our students, and just to say thank you, Lord, for saving people. So let's just thank Jesus for being awesome, all right? I'd like to ask you guys to pray for us. The summer, if you've ever been around youth ministry, this is the time of year where things start happening, all right? And so please pray for myself and Amy and anyone else who's crazy enough to go to a camp. If you've ever been a camp chaperone, you know what I'm talking about. But please pray for all the summer activities we have coming up. Very important in the lives of students as they make those decisions that will impact their eternity. It's just so important to pray for these students as they go to camps. And so as I say that, let's pray. And then we'll hop into the message. Father God, thank you so much for today. God, you are so good. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for creating us in your image. Thank you, God, for specifically giving us our identity. Lord, I pray today as I preach that God, you will help me to get out of the way, and that your Holy Spirit will speak through me. And I pray, God, today as your word is presented, that hearts will be open. God, I know that most everyone in this room is probably here all the time, and sometimes we can just go through the motions. But I pray today, God, we will hear your voice in a new and a fresh way, and we will be encouraged today, God. And I pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. I have a question for you to ponder. It's not a very comfortable question, but something for you to think about. Imagine that you had amnesia. All right, everybody? Got that? All right, just imagine that you had amnesia, where you totally forgot who you were, where you lived, you forgot all of your information, all that. For some of you, you're thinking, that's my everyday life, right? No, I'm just joking. But I know that's how I feel sometimes. But imagine you have amnesia, how difficult that would be to navigate through. Instead of living life with purpose, you would live in a state of confusion. Again, that's how some of us feel, but just imagine for real if you had amnesia, how confused you'd be. You'd be saying, what's my name, and where do I live, and who's my family? We'd be freaking out. We'd be trying to figure out who we were. Everything would be unfamiliar to us, all because we didn't know our identity. I hope and pray that this never happens to anyone in the room, that none of us ever experience amnesia. But for the sake of a point that I'm going to make this morning, really, really think about that. All right, let's imagine another scenario. If you could trade places with anyone in the world, okay? Trade places with anyone in the world. It could be a fictional character. It could be a real-life character. It could be an animal, all right? If you could trade places with anyone or anything, what would it be? Okay, really focus, really. Everybody kind of getting somewhere. All right, you getting that? All right, I know it's the early service, but yeah, you're tracking with me? All right, good deal. I'm a youth pastor, so I've got to, connect, and here we go. All right, Everybody's got that person. Who would you trade places with? Now I know that none of us need to trade places. We should all be content in who we are in Christ. We should all be content with our life. I'm living my dream. I don't need to trade places with anybody. But for the sake of this example, who would you trade places with? And if you were to trade places with this person or thing, would your decision making be different if you had that new identity? Okay, you got me? Who would you trade places with? And would your decision making be different if you changed to that new identity? Okay? I'm assuming you've kind of narrowed in. I'm not going to do the youth pastor thing and make you tell someone. I'm tempted to, but I'm not going to make you do that. But I'll tell you who I was thinking about. Now, I grew up in the 90s, and I am a huge basketball fan, and so my first thought was Michael Jordan, all right? Like, I love Michael Jordan. People today like LeBron, and I'm not a LeBron guy, but I love Michael Jordan, all right? And so I thought about how cool it would be to know what it's like to jump from the free throw line and dunk it. Like, I've done it on a 7-foot goal, you know, but on a 10-foot basket, how cool would that be, right? Like, the thought about that, but then I started to think about, like, I don't think it would be Michael Jordan for me. Who would I trade places with? And I am a dad of a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old, so I see a lot of superhero movies and Lego movies and all this sort of stuff, so my mind went to Batman, all right? Anybody else? Did anyone else in the room think Batman? Anyone else? Oh, man, all right. So I went to Batman, and so I was like, all right, if I could be anyone else, who would I trade places with? Batman. And then the second question, would my decision-making be different based upon my new identity? Are you kidding me? Absolutely. If I was Batman, I would live a totally different way of life. Like, everything I did would be extreme, right? Every single decision I made would be different. I wouldn't be scared of anything. At night, I would stay up late, and I would look for the bat signal so that I could know if I need to go take care of some crime. I would carry around a batarang. For those of you who are not familiar, a batarang is like a boomerang. Everyone's familiar with a boomerang, but it's shaped like a bat, and it's used to hit criminals, all right? I've learned this from my 6-year-old. I would carry around a batarang. I would drive a Batmobile. Now, right now, I drive a 97 Dodge Ram. I'm very blessed to be able to use that for my ninja obstacle course ministry, but let's just be real. A Batmobile would be better, right? Like, I would absolutely enjoy driving a Batmobile. I would have a butler. Like, who wouldn't want a butler, right? Like, it would be awesome. I would do all my training in the Batcave. If I was Batman, my identity changed from Jared Greer to Batman, I would make totally different decisions. Knowing, this is what I want you to catch, knowing who we are makes an incredible difference in our lives. We had amnesia. Who am I? What do I do? Your decisions would be different. If you change to this new person, your decisions would be different. Knowing who we are makes an incredible difference in our lives. It changes everything. Knowing who we are changes our emotional state. It changes our state of mind. It changes the decisions we make. Knowing who we are changes everything. I believe the search for our identity is one of, if not the greatest searches of all. I mean, what if people have been asking for ages, since the beginning of time? Who am I? Where did I come from? How did I get here? Where am I going? And at the core, at the deepest part of us, we want to know our identity. We want to know who we are so we can know what we're supposed to do. Let's just think of some Christian examples of us knowing that we were created by God and we didn't evolve over the course of billions of years. That changes everything for us. Knowing that God created me and that gives me my identity, that's going to change the way I live as opposed to if I had evolved over the course of billions of years. Knowing that I'm from sin and not a slave to my sin changes everything. Knowing that I am forgiven, that all of my sins have been wiped away, changes everything. I don't have to live with years and years of guilt and shame. I am forgiven. Knowing that Christ's power dwells in me changes everything. Knowing who I am changes everything. When we are confused about our identity, we are confused about everything. But when we know our identity, we have everything we need to live the Christian life. We go from confused to driven. We go from unsettled to settled. We go from life without purpose to a life of intentionality. And so this morning, I want to spend some time with you telling you who you are in Christ. And as I look around the room, many of you know who you are in Christ, right? You know these things. But isn't it good to remember? Isn't it refreshing to be told this is who you are in Christ? I feel over the last couple years since I've been in Grandview that God has shifted in me, even the way I preach, even the way I teach students. I used to really, really want to harp on sin and tell people how just they need to repent, and I still believe that's very much a part of preaching. But over the last couple years, I've really started to want to just tell people about the love of Jesus, because I believe it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. That's Romans 2:4. I want people to know who they are in Christ, that God loves us, and when we see that he loves us, we want to turn from our old way, and we want to follow him. We want to get caught up in the middle of a movement of God. So this morning, I want to tell you who you are in Christ. That little term, in Christ, or in him, or in the Lord, is used in Scripture 160 times. 160 times. That seems important. Seems like a theme running throughout the New Testament. Knowing who you are changes everything. Once we know who we are set free from the struggle of seeking out our identity. Think back to the amnesia illustration. If you have amnesia, you're not going to spend your time living and accomplishing things. You're going to spend your time trying to figure out who you are. Where do people turn? Think about this. Where do people turn when they don't know their identity? Where do we turn as a people? I think we turn to other people. And we turn to people and we say, who do you say that I am? And we cling to their every word and we try to live according to the identity they give us. They want us to be pretty or handsome or funny or entertaining or nice. People want us to be perfect. Can anybody live up to that? Not me, right? The problem with allowing other people to define our identity is we can never live up to their standard. Eventually, we're not going to be pretty enough. We're not going to be handsome enough. We're not going to be funny enough. We're not going to be nice enough. We're not perfect enough. And this is why I think so many in our day-to-day post on social media. They're asking others to approve of who they are, but the reality is that others' approval will always leave us lacking. We weren't made to find our identity from others, but we were made by God, and God has given us our identity. He defines who we are. And if there's one thing I want to help my students navigate through, I want them to understand before we send them off in the world to go to college and do their career and to get on with life, one thing I want them to get from 6th grade to 12th grade is that they are in Christ. I want them to know who they are in Christ because I believe it changes everything. I stumbled upon a book recently. It's got a long title. Catch it. It's called this, 52 Amazing Things That Become True the Moment You Trusted Christ. That's a long title. Did you catch that? 52 Amazing Things That Become True the Moment You Trusted in Christ. Okay? We're going to study all 52 this morning. I'm just joking. All right? I'm just joking. We're not going to study all 52, but I do want to hit on about 10 of those things. I'm just going to read to you and discuss Scripture about what Jesus, what God, our Heavenly Father, says about you. As I wrote this sermon, as I prepared for it, it just made me smile. I was sitting in my office and just saying, this is who you say that I am? I am a dirty, nasty sinner deserving hell, deserving damnation from God, but you love me and this is who you say I am? Wow. Changes everything. It changes my confidence. It changes my focus. It changes everything. So I want to tell you 10 of those things this morning. The first thing is you are right with God. Amen? If you are in Christ, now this isn't every person that's living right now. This is if you have trusted in Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior, then you are right with God. Some scripture, Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. If you've had that moment, maybe it was years ago, maybe it was recent, but if you've had that moment where God showed you you were a sinner and you repented and you trusted in Jesus, you are right with God. Maybe sometimes you let your old sins make you think, am I really? No, if you've trusted in Jesus, Jesus has changed your eternal life. You are right with God. You are alive in Christ. You are bought with his blood. He wrote off your trespasses. He buried your sins on the ocean floor. He made your sins as far as the east is from the west. You are no longer defined by your sins of your past or the present or the future. You are defined by the righteousness of Jesus. You are as clean as Jesus. Amen? That's who you are. We are as clean as Jesus. The second identity statement I want you to catch this morning is you are loved unconditionally. You are valuable. You are loved unconditionally, and you are valuable. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Romans 5:8, one of my favorite passages. But God demonstrated his love for us in this way, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8:31 says this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are loved unconditionally. You didn't do anything to earn it. You are just valuable to God because he made you and he loves you. When I think about this topic of unconditional love and God knowing me, I think about Psalm 139. And I thought about picking out one or two of those verses to read to you. I just couldn't pick out one or two. The chapter is so rich, and so I just want to read this over you, read this to you, so you can soak up this truth. You are loved. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind, and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, the night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. I love this next verse. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. Intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In the book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. What more is there to say about being unconditionally loved and being found valuable than what David says? I think he covers it, right? You were known before you were born. He knows your days. He likes you. God loves you. You are valuable to God. You don't have to earn his favor. It doesn't matter how many years we live as Christians. Sometimes I think we still have to earn it. We just have that mentality. I've got to earn it. We all work hard, right? We're Texans. We work hard. We think we've got to earn things. But not in God's universe. Not in God's economy. We don't earn his favor. He just finds us to be valuable. You don't have to make a certain amount of money to be loved by God. You don't have to have a certain waistline to be loved by God. You don't have to read the Bible 3 times a day to be loved by God. We can quit trying to be good enough and rest in the truth that he likes us and loves us just the way we are. Of course, God hates our sin, and he wants us to be more like Jesus. But this has nothing to do with the reality that his love is unconditional. This has nothing to do with the reality that we are valuable to him. We don't earn his favor. We don't become more valuable when we reach certain levels of spirituality. We are just valuable to him because he loves us and he made us. End of story. Rest in that truth. I want you to say some things after me. Repeat after me. I am valuable. That was pretty good. I'm impressed. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am loved. I don't have to earn his love. He loves me just the way I am. Good job. Nicely done. The third identity statement I want you to catch is you are a new creation. You are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." Romans 6:11 says, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus." You are new. Guys, we're going to continue to struggle with sin. I teach my students all the time the ideas of Romans 7, that I'm a new person, but I struggle with sin still. This is reality, but you are a new person. You've been saved to live a new way of life. This is who you are in Christ. You're new. You're not the old person. Sometimes I just have to tell myself, that guy's dead. Old Jared is dead. Satan can try to tell me that's who I still am, but that's not true. I am a new creation. The fourth identity statement I want you to catch is you are eternal. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." What will you have if you're in Christ? Everlasting life. You are eternal. You will live forever. You know what that does for me? First, for just me, myself, that's just so comforting. But also, I've lost loved ones. You have too. We have friends and family who are dealing with terminal illness, things like that. If they are in Christ, they are eternal too. Death does not win in Christ. Amen? Death does not win. Jesus wins. He rose from the dead. You too will rise from the dead if you are in Christ. Paul says we shouldn't grieve as people that don't have hope. When we lose loved ones, we grieve differently because the grave is not the end. We continue with Jesus forever. The fifth identity statement I want you to get is you are free from all guilt and shame. Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." You don't have to live or dwell in a constant state of guilt. Does anyone struggle with that? Don't raise your hand. Think about it. Do you ever just feel guilty? You ever just feel the shame of your past? You don't have to. Jesus took it. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest." Rest in the fact that you are free. You are forgiven. Live in that freedom. You're not a slave to your guilt. Live in the freedom that Jesus gives you. The sixth identity statement is one that I hadn't really thought of too much. I've kind of hinted at it already, but you are delighted in by God. God delights in you. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears." Have you ever thought about that? God delights in you. I think most of us feel sometimes like we're a burden to God, but that's not true at all. You bring God joy. You are his delight. Who in here has kids? All right? Making sure you're still awake. All right, good. You have kids. My kids are wonderful angels most of the time. but the reality is that sometimes I can look at them and say, "Why are you doing that? What is wrong with you? Why are you being so evil right now?" Right? You felt that way about your children, right? In that moment, when you feel that way about your children, do you not still look at them with 100% delight? Even though you want to strangle them in that moment, you still look at them and you say, "You're my child. And I love you. I like you. You are awesome." I think about times growing up with my parents and my parents just spending time with me, riding around with my dad, going to an Astros game. I grew up in Houston, just spending time with my mom. We would go have little, just me and her dates. We'd go to Jason's Deli. That was kind of something me and my mom did. But I just remember them spending time with me like that because they loved me and they liked me and they took delight just being around me. That's how God is with you. He likes you. He loves you. He takes delight in you. And I think in light of that, we should want to spend some more time with him. Sometimes I think that we're like, "Oh, I don't know that he would even want to be around me." No, he does. He loves you. He changed your identity. You are as clean as Jesus. You're valuable to him. Spend time with him. The seventh identity statement I want you to catch is you have the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit of the living God lives in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? What does that mean for you and me? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If the Holy Spirit lives in me, I can do anything God wants me to do. Anything. That means I can make it through some major difficult trial. I can keep focused in a season of blessing and surplus instead of getting lost and focused on all the goods of this world. We can stay focused on what God has for us. You can do anything because the Holy Spirit lives in you. The eighth identity statement I want you to know this morning is you are complete. You are whole. Colossians 2:10 says, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Have you ever felt empty before? Anyone in the room ever been there? I have felt empty. Anybody ever felt empty before? We've all been there. Even after I received Christ, I have felt empty. I've had those moments where gone through difficult seasons, losing someone or just failing at something or someone criticizing me, felt empty. But am I empty? No. Am I incomplete? No. In Christ, I am complete. He has made me whole. He is I am united with Christ. Christ is complete, so I am complete. I have everything I need to be satisfied because Christ satisfies me. So if you're in Christ, you need to work through those empty feelings. If you ever feel empty or feel alone, work through those things because they're just feelings. And can we trust our feelings? There's one thing that I've learned about myself. I can't trust my feelings. If I feel empty or I don't feel complete, man, fight through that and tell yourself the truth that I am complete. I am in Christ, and he makes me whole. The ninth identity statement, we're almost done. We've got two more. The ninth identity statement is you are a gifted part of the body of Christ. You are a gifted part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. If you look back at verse 6, it says, it is the same God who empowers them all in who? In who? This is interaction. With who? In who? Everyone. Everyone. Does that mean that just like only me and Corey have gifts and Joel because we get up here on stage? No. Every person who is in Christ has been gifted. You have spiritual gifts. You have talents. And God has gifted you with those things to build his kingdom. Have you discovered your gifts? Even if you've been a Christian for years, sometimes I think Christians go a long time without ever discovering their gifts. Have you ever discovered your gifts? And if you have, are you using them? Because I think sometimes we retire from using our gifts because we think, hey, I put in my time. And the reality is you're never done until you're in the grave, and then you're serving Jesus in heaven. Use your gifts forever. Use your gifts. As I talk to the graduates in the next service, I'm just going to encourage them that they need to go off to college, go off to this next season and develop those gifts, develop those talents so they can build God's kingdom on this earth. You are gifted. The last identity statement I want you to know this morning is you are an ambassador of reconciliation. You are an ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, we are an ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You represent God to this world. You are God's representative to this world. God doesn't have a plan B of how he's going to reach the world. The church, Christians, those in Christ, your plan A. And he wants to use you as his ambassador to show the world his love, to show the world his truth, to tell the world his truth. When we know who we are in Christ, it changes everything. It changes the decisions we make on a daily basis. It changes everything. And so believers in this room, are you living based upon these truths? Are you living your life like you are in Christ? Are you living your life like you're a new creation, like you are forgiven, like you're right with God, like you're an ambassador? Are you living according to this identity? If you're not, We're, and all of us in some areas, we're not, right? Every single one of us. This morning, it just is an invitation to you to whatever areas you're not living according to this identity, to maybe confess that to God, to get some things right. If I said something this morning that struck a nerve, and it wasn't just from my mouth, it was from Scripture, and it's one of those identity statements, if I struck a nerve with you or the Holy Spirit struck a nerve with you, respond to it. Don't just move on. Respond to it. God is speaking to us today. You are in Christ, and God wants to use those of us in Christ to change the world. I want to say during our time of invitation, Corey will be down here, I'll be down here. If you'd like to pray about anything, we'll be down here. But knowing who you are, I hope it leaves you encouraged, and I hope it leaves you just excited and ready to go and change the world for Jesus. If you need anything from us, we'll be ready to pray with you. I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing our song of invitation. Let's stand together, and let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit, pray that you have, what you've spoken to us, that we will respond to. I pray that we will not just be hearers of the word, but we will be doers of the word. Help us to know who we are, so we can live the life you have planned for us. I love you, Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen.